I'm Toby Altizer with your sports update on The Fan. This update is brought to you by Lido Pizza. Lido Pizza never cuts corners. In the NFL, the Commanders are set to meet with two of the top quarterback prospects in the draft next week. Monday and Tuesday, they'll meet with Jaden Daniels. Tuesday and Wednesday, they'll meet with Drake May. Other NFL news, the edge rusher Josh Allen agreed to a five-year deal with the Jaguars worth $150 million. He'd previously been on the franchise tag, but they agreed to a long-term deal today. In the NBA, the Wizards fell to the Timberwolves last night, 130-121. They've got two more games left on their schedule. They'll be back home for their final game at home Friday against the Bulls and then wrap up the regular season on Sunday in Boston. In hockey, the Capitals got a huge win over the Red Wings last night, 2-1. Ovi scored his 30th goal of the season. He's the first player ever with 18 30-goal seasons. Now the Capitals sit in the second wild card spot with 85 points. They're a point ahead of Detroit and Pittsburgh and 2 points ahead of Philadelphia. And in baseball, the Nationals got a win last night over the Giants 5-3, so today they're going for the sweep. You can hear it right here on The Fan at 3:45. Patrick Corbin goes to the hill for the Nationals, Jordan Hicks for the Giants. Lido Pizza is going wacky on Wednesdays in April. Bring your friends and family to Lido Pizza on Wednesdays and get a free appetizer with any $25 purchase. Head to LidoPizza.com for locations, menu, and more information. Lido Pizza, a family value since 1955. From the Crop Midcalf, 5-Star Sports Desk, I'm Toby Altizer on The Fan.
And now the set. Finnegan delivers. Swinging a ground ball toward short. Abrams has it. He shovels to Vargas. The relay to first. In time! It's a 6-4-3. Inning ending. Game ending double play. And a curly W and a series win in the books here in San Francisco. Kyle Finnegan walked a tightrope in the bottom of the ninth inning. But it's a Houdini act as well. He gets to the other side. And the Nationals out of the dugout, out of the field, to celebrate a victory here at Oracle Park.
That's the voice of Charlie Sloes, Nationals baseball as heard here on The Fan. That was game two, win two in a three-game series for the Nats. A chance to break out the brooms, or as we say on this show, the wet paper towels.
The wet paper towel. Never forget. You go, if you had a mess, how would you clean it up? I was like, maybe you'd use a wet paper towel to swipe away the smudge. We're talking about baseball, you idiot.
Well, yeah, I think you even had the context clues of thinking of a word like Nats today. And you're like, okay, what is it? I'm like, let's say something falls on the floor. You got to pick it up. And you're like, would you get a pooper scooper?
Like, what would you do? The 409?
Like, no, think about something you hold at the top and you brush along the floor.
Febreze. You Febreze it to air it out. God.
Kick off your future with the law firm of Cundori & Murad, official Grant & Danny Show sponsor. They will help protect your assets, update your will and trust, schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Mention us to get a discount. KMLawyers.com. That's KMLawyers.com. I mentioned the mock draft for Mel Kiper. Mm-hmm. That dropped today. He had three trades in said mock draft. I think everyone's expecting that the Vikings are the team that's going to fly up the board. The question for a lot of people is, do they get to four with Arizona, or is it maybe five with the Chargers? And he has the Cardinals staying put at four and taking Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. There was a rumor today, whether this is true or not, I can't tell you, but that they want three number ones to come out of the fourth pick. If they're moving back more than, you know, outside of the top 10, that they would want three first-round picks, which stands to reason. Remember, Washington went up from 6-2, four spots, and they gave up three ones, including, you know, the one involved that year in that round, the swap. So I could see that if that's what Arizona's asking for. But he's got the Vikings going up to five, and he thinks they can get J.J. McCarthy there. That's just a long way to go if you're Minnesota, to then be handed the fourth-best quarterback, unless you love McCarthy. If you want May or Daniels, you need to get into the top three. If you're cool with McCarthy, then maybe you wait and see. Cardinals stay put and take Harrison. Now we can get to five. We can trade with Harbaugh. Harbaugh's going to do McCarthy a solid, his college quarterback, and get him to a good place. So maybe that is the fit that makes the most sense. But a team like the Giants is going to try to come up. Presumably the
Raiders,
Denver Broncos, and Vegas Raiders, both picking 12th and 13th, would want to do that as well.
So that's a unique spot, right? Three teams right in a row outside the top 10 that all want to be in, presumably, this top four. What's it worth to you? Well, we're going to find out, I think. There is going to be action. So this isn't one of those times where, I can't remember, who was the team? There was somebody back in 2012 when Washington traded up with the then St. Louis Rams. Wasn't there someone else that was offering something competitive too? Do you remember that part of the story?
Possibly, I would imagine, but I don't remember.
Yeah, but like Washington had to beat it, right? They had to beat and exceed it, which is, you know, they did that first-round swap, two first-rounders in future years, then second-round picks, the whole nine yards. So this would be even more than that, as you alluded to, because you're coming from outside the top 10. Minnesota did themselves a service by adding yet another first-round pick at 23, but it's still, you got to do both of those. You probably have to do two more first-rounders in future years and some second-rounders, maybe a player or something kind of to boot.
There's a holiday being celebrated today in Baltimore, Maryland. Many of you may not be celebrating here in D.C., and I certainly understand that. But Jackson Holliday has graduated to the major leagues, the number one prospect in all of baseball. He was the second pick 2 years ago. He's only 20 years old, a career 320 hitter in the minors. This is the son of Matt Holliday. So if you feel old, it's because you're old. Matt Holliday, who was playing like 5 years ago, his 20-year-old kid is debuting for the Baltimore Orioles today. I think the Orioles called him up today, Danny, because by calling him up today, they're still able. This was basically the deadline. If he were to win Rookie of the Year or finish in the top couple in MVP voting somehow, they would still get a first-round pick as a reward for giving him enough service time this year. But I do think they're going to burn a year on the back end. He's a Boris-advised player. Not a guy probably signing an extension, eventually goes to free agency. Mm-hmm. So if you wait a couple more weeks, you probably get another year of him. But this is a team that thinks they can win a championship, off to kind of a mediocre start by the standards of 100 wins last year. And they're not waiting. They are calling up Jackson Holliday, who will bat ninth and play second base today.
Yeah, so I would have waited probably whatever amount of time to assure me for a whole other calendar year, knowing that he'll still be part of things here for probably 140 games.
And then you would have lost out on a potential first-round pick.
Totally right.
If he wins or finishes second in Rookie of the Year voting.
Yes. Having him for an extra year is worth more to me than any other prize compensation you could offer.
I agree with that.
Also, Matt Holliday, just a quick FYI, same age as me, one of my contemporaries. He's
not the same age as you.
He's 44. He was drafted in 98 out of high school. I remember him coming up when I was still twirling away in college. I will say this comfortably. He was better than me. I think that's okay to say.
But not at baseball.
No, he was. He was. I think that's fine. Baseball. No, he was. He was. I think it's okay.
Not at hitting.
Yes. Hitting.
Not at slugging.
Yes, it's slugging.
Who hit more home runs at the George Washington University?
Well, compared to Matt Holliday, it was me, actually.
Then he stinks.
No, he didn't
I want to go back to something.
Because he bypassed it.
He's the same age as you?
Yeah, he's 44.
And he has a 20-year-old?
That's right.
Major league son.
That's right.
That is a show.
Yeah, it's a bit of a show. So that's the other part I wanted to bring up there. Matt Holliday's entire career. Okay, I remember the hot shot out of Oklahoma, and here he's a seventh-round pick for the Rockies, flew up through the organization, and just mashed and hit the ball so hard all the time, and he was great. And now his son is making the major leagues, and it's really, really depressing and annoying and frustrating, but also cool, but oh my God.
There's a video of his son, Jackson, at 3 years old. I tweeted it. You can go check it out, at Grant H. Paulson, from MLB's account. He's three. He's the same age as my son.
Yep.
Forget for a second that he's got like a big league swing and he's like launching the ball across the infield and very clearly ahead of the game.
I was throwing the ball to
my kid in the basement. We're working on some hand eye today before I came in here. Uh-huh. A little different look.
Yep.
But he's on the field at Coors Field in Denver, Colorado, just whacking the baseball 17 years ago. Little kid, man, with a bowl cut.
Slow fell.
And here he is now at 20 years old. Also, apparently, the name Jackson got very popular at that time. The three youngest players in the major leagues right now are all 20.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Churio from the Brewers, who's the number two prospect. Jackson Holliday from the Orioles. And Jackson Merrill, who's the center fielder for the Padres. So the three youngest players in the sport at the same age all have a name Jackson, which I just find interesting.
Well, I'll tell you what's coming. In about 4 or 5 years, there's going to be 77 Cadence running around Major League Baseball. Yeah. So when my son was doing the like pre-K, whatever you want to call it, like, yeah, hey, This is a dry run before you actually get into like nursery school, whatever, just a couple days a week. There were like seven Cadence, all spelled differently. Some are C-A-Y, some are K-A-I-E, all sorts of things. So people just were like, let's just make up a name. And Caden was the most popular name for a while.
I really like the name Jackson. You know, I do the president thing.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Last name of a president, mm-hmm. first name of the kids. We got Truman. We got Reagan. We got McKinley.
But Andrew Jackson's a tough one to name your kid after.
Well,
if you're doing that
way. We don't really endorse candidates, you know, but we do have to think about it some today's day and age.
Like Lincoln would be a cool one. That would get universal acclaim.
Lincoln is the if there were another boy at some point, which I don't know that there will be. Three seems like a good number for me.
I don't know about that.
I think it's time to hang my jersey from the rafters.
Not what the betting odds say.
Well, the betting odds have been wrong a lot. You can win a lot of money on FanDuel. You know that.
Interesting.
But ideally, the jersey's hung from the rafters at this point. We can retire my number. Right at three. That'll be the number three.
Hmm.
But Lincoln would have been, when we had number three, instead of a girl, a boy would have been Link. But I like the name Jackson, but everyone's named Jackson.
Yeah, there's a lot of Jacksons.
Go to a playground, man. Just go to a playground.
Jackson. Seven kids turn. Yeah.
And like nine guys are like, what's up, Papa? Like, it's
you're
insane.
Not my dad.
Is there another name that you could possibly be? Can anyone else name their kid anything other than Jackson? I know it's cool. I would do it. I guess I can't because of the presidential team. But I would want to do like a J-A-X-O-N bit just to make it different. Go by Jax.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Now, my wife would probably think that's stupid and we wouldn't do it because, you know, she kind of runs the show.
Yeah, she's in charge. I get that. But, and she's doing a little more work there than you on that one.
I'm going to let her decide.
Yeah. Here's a suggestion. You don't like it? Okay, fine. I'll go back to the corner. Yeah.
By the way, I think you're wrong about the FanDuel odds. I think the FanDuel odds are like minus 260 that we've reached the end of the road.
That is adorable. That you think that. Like, you're my guy. I love you so much. But everybody knows.
I don't know if they do.
Yeah.
It is time. I think this is a good time. No time like the present, as they say.
Speaking of transitions.
To give you the Nationals starting lineup as they get ready to try to pull off a wet paper towel at Oracle Park in San Francisco. On the mound, who better to get you a sweep than the lefty, Patrick Corbin.
Here we go.
Get back to Corbin in a moment. Your lineup. Leading off, shortstop, C.J. Abrams. Batting second, the right fielder, Lane Thomas. Hitting third, he's been very good. D.H. Jesse Winker sporting a .310 batting average. Joey Gallo is in the lineup. I'm surprised by that after he got hit by a pitch in the hand yesterday. He will bat fourth and play first. Eddie Rosario has really struggled. .136 average on the year. His only home run on opening day. He is back in the lineup to hit fifth and play left. Trey Lipscomb, rookie, third baseman, bats sixth. Luis Garcia, the second baseman, will hit seventh. Drew Millis, called up from the major leagues, from the minor leagues. He will play a major league game, switch hitting catcher, batting eighth. And Jacob Young, the center fielder, hits ninth. Abrams, Thomas, Winker, Gallo, Rosario, Lipscomb, Garcia. Third catcher, Drew Millis and Jacob Young.
Three righties in the lineup against Jordan Hicks. The majority left-handed, and Drew Millis is a switch hitter. So that is the purpose of that right there, trying to face a guy with nasty stuff.
What's going on with K-Bert Ruiz, do we think?
You think there's something going on?
Well, I don't think anything's going on, but when's the last time back-to-back days two different catchers caught that weren't him?
That's a good point.
Riley Adams yesterday. Drew Millis called up to be a third catcher and gets the start. Today,
I wonder if there is something. Yeah, maybe yesterday, good opportunity against the lefty to get his feet up, right? Or maybe there's a, you know, I don't know if there's a...
he's also a switch hitter.
Well, yeah, but maybe you use it as an opportunity. Hey, you sit because we have... I'm not going to say
Riley Adams.
Thank you. We have Adams. Maybe he's the special catcher for somebody. Maybe we do it that way to break it up. And now we got a little road trip or we got a travel day. Get your feet up for a couple days. I don't know, but maybe there is something going on. I haven't heard.
Corbin back on the mound, third start of the season for him. Look out for the Michael Conforto matchup. I don't know if you guys have looked at these numbers. Michael Conforto in his career off Corbin's like 10 for 30 with three homers and 10 RBI. He has absolutely owned him. Conforto is going to hit third and play left field today for the Giants.
So oh, no.
Pick the click for you if you want to put in a base hit or two for Conforto on your FanDuel props. But Corbin, 34, final year of his contract, two starts into the year, 10 and a third innings, and an ERA up around 7 in the early going.
He's, you know, it's been a couple of those bad innings for him, right? Like, he was pretty good through most of, I think it was his first start, right? And then, you know, a couple meltdowns here and there. It's kind of been a theme of this Nationals pitching staff, right? With the, I guess, the exception of Trevor Williams among the starters, who's been pretty good. If you can eliminate those big crooked numbers, gives the team a chance for a nice little sweep. They match up well against the Giants.
Capitals idle this evening, back in action tomorrow. We didn't really get into the Wizards, who played a good game but lost 131-21 to the Timberwolves. Next time they play is Friday against the Chicago Bulls. Did you see the Bulls play last night? When they had like a,
I did.
They had like a 2-on-0 break. They tried to go off the glass. One guy thought was throwing to himself. His teammate didn't
Andre Drummond
it.
Thought it was to him.
Oh, my God.
That was one of those, this is an embarrassment.
Leave the building. If you do that, just that way. There's the tunnel.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you when we get back in the locker room.
We'll try it again tomorrow.
We don't need you here anymore. That was such an embarrassing look for the Bulls. Keep it right here. Charlie and Dave pregame next on The Fan. For Darris and Ryan, our producers behind the scenes, we're Grant and Danny saying so long. Really tough work day for us.
I'm exhausted.
Oh, man. Our wives don't know how good they have it. We are workers, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Grinding our way through this difficult day. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for coming.